we got a very special group of people that we're going to talk to today. We've got we've got four of us on here, so we're going to try and juggle this as best we can. Tavish, you're back for a third time this week. Thanks for taking the time. I know you can't stay with us through the whole segment, but we're happy to have you nonetheless. GP, you're also with us today. Actually, you know what? I was a little concerned earlier that you actually called. You didn't call my U.S. line. You actually called my my German cell phone line, and I thought this is okay. I was driving, so I couldn't grab it right away. But I was kind of concerned when I saw the number. I thought, wait a minute, that's GP calling me. You called to ask me a question.
Yes.
About the status of what's happening. Now, let's talk about this right now. I've been getting some emails. You asked me if I'd been recalled, right? And
yes.
They've been recalling slowly. They've been recalling U.S. citizens over the last, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 weeks now. And it's been a slow progression of if you're planning to leave, then, you know, make arrangements to do so. And then now, as of, let me pull this. As of this morning, I'm getting emails such as this, and I'll just quote what the U.S. consulate was sending out. International commercial flight options currently exist from Germany to the citizens who wish to return to the United States and should make commercial arrangements as soon as possible, unless they are prepared to remain abroad for an indefinite period. The United States government does not anticipate arranging repatriation flights from Germany at this time. So if I can get a flight. And anyone, you know, at the top of this, it says to share with all you other U.S. citizens that we're in contact with over here. If we can get a flight now, then we need to get it. That's what they're telling us.
Yeah.
So what exactly, you said there was another step to this because they're at a heightened level now. They're at like a level 4, which, by the way, I don't know what that means. And I don't think anyone knows what that means. But there is another heightened state that a step that they could go further with this. So explain to me and explain to the listeners exactly what that is.
Well, America's calling everyone back. But there's also another situation where if you're in a foreign country, they may expel foreign nationals. So like you're an American citizen in Germany, if Germany decides, you know what, we don't want anybody here that's not a German citizen because our healthcare is overburdened, blah, 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 whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
They can boot you. And say the U.S. is in a situation where it says, we're not taking in anybody, period. I don't care if you're a U.S. citizen. You had your chance. Where are you going to go?
Well, in this case, the conditions of my visa, I'm on a permanent residency, so I can't be booted. So it's not possible for me to be booted. They can't. It's just okay. The way that the way that visa is. I'm on a 10-year extended permanent residency. So the only thing that separates me from an actual citizen at this point is a test. That's it. So there's no way legally that they could boot me, even if they were to expel foreign citizens. There's no way they could do that, at least per their law. Unless they went through and they arbitrarily changed the law, then, you know, that's a completely different story. So, yeah.
Yeah, we don't know how things are going.
Yeah, we don't know how things are going to go. And there's a lot of things. I mean, I can feel, even before your call, right? I can feel that there's something that's going, I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to try and scare people, but there's something else coming. And I don't know what it is. The only reason I say that is because I know history. I know history. And I know, I do. And I've spent the better
part of- Are you saying it's a natural disaster or are you saying it's a government situation?
I'm saying it's a government situation. That's what I'm saying. There's something else coming, and I don't know what it is. But I got a bad feeling about it because when a country goes down a road like this, and I mean we're in uncharted territory as far as this goes, as the United States, we're in uncharted territory with this. But when you start going down a road of economical collapse of a major country like this, which the United States took over the. Well, you could almost say the world government project after the end of the Second World War. So we've been kind of used as, you know, the engine to build this project up to this point. And then now we're out of money. You know, we can't do it anymore. We've been bankrupted. Right. We are the Romans of today. That's what it is. You know, that system is just coming to an end. Whether you want it to or not, it's a side issue. It doesn't even matter. The fact is we were taken over and we were used to build that system. Now everything's going to shift to a medical side of things and a social credit side of things. They're going to use the medical side of things to usher in the social credit side of things. So this is why you've got people, the likes of Dr. Fauci going up and saying, we can't allow anything to return to normal unless we have zero new cases and zero deaths. I don't know if you guys caught that yesterday, but this is what he's now saying. So if that's the case, then we're never going to get these lockdowns out of the way and we're never going to get back to it. Right. So GP, you and I briefly talked about this just a little bit ago. Well, actually, it was 2 days ago, but you explained this to me. Actually, no, it might have been even yesterday. I've lost track of days, right? I swear to you, I've lost track of days because everything is just not right. You know, I was on, I mean, do you know how I am, GP, with my schedule? You know, for anybody that doesn't, that doesn't know how bad I am with time, go back and listen to our time management podcast. And that's how my brain works on a day-to-day basis. And then you couple that with a lockdown, it does not work. So I can't adjust to this and be civil for very long.
Right.
So, yes. So I, you know, and I was out today. I took a little drive today because you can still do that here. I took a little drive today. Man, it's creepy. It is creepy out there. You know, it's like I feel like I just woke up in like a, I don't know, a bad sci-fi movie or something. You know, I mean, there's just like there's nothing. There's a couple of cars here and there, but businesses are shut. I drove past my gym, you know, my holy sanctuary that I would spend every weeknight at, and vacant. I mean, vacant, nothing. The hotel across the street, shut. Businesses and everything else that's around that, shut. It is creepy. But anyway, let's jump over to this. So this was something that came out a couple of days ago on medical staffing. Now, we know that hotels. We know that hospitals are having some difficulties coping with all this stuff. And this is how it's being interpreted. People are looking at a lot of the medical staffs that are having their salaries cut and their time off taken away from, their retirement benefits from providers being knocked back. And it says that major medical staffing company just slashed benefits for doctors and nurses fighting coronavirus. Explain to me, so people understand this correctly, it's not exactly as bad as it sounds. So explain to me how you put it when it comes to this.
Are you talking to me? Sorry.
Yes, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to the one guy that understands medical staffing and that understands
it's just an employment agency. You got to understand when they're losing money from.
I could probably answer it, though, because GP and I talked about it the other
yes.
day.
Okay, go on.
So in a nutshell, what GP and I were talking about here the other day is it's a firm that does this. And anytime they lay off, say, a part-time worker or something like that, you could say those statistics that, yes, they're losing, you know, retirement or whatever. I mean, technically, looking at it, that is correct. But really what's going on is they're laying people off like part-time or what have you.
All right, I'm with you. That sounds more like it. I mean, if you read down through this, then it kind of follows along those lines, yes. But the way that this is worded, anyone that doesn't take the time to sit down and read it, then they'll just look at it and say, oh, well, they're cutting doctor salaries. They're cutting nurses' salaries. They're cutting all this from them right now. You can't do that, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I can see that. Tavish, why don't you give us an update of what's going on up in your neck of the woods?
We just have shipping come in of, I believe, 1 million N95 masks. The Kraft family, using their plane, Patriots team plane, flew it to China, loaded up, and brought it back.
Yes. We talked about that yesterday.
About salt in the wound.
Came from China. And you know what those masks are?
Supposedly N95.
They are N95s, but they are re-sanitized. Let me put it that way.
I wondered about that. I am not surprised at all. The fact that China, here, have supplies, Russia. Sending supplies. It sounds more like a propaganda thing than anything else. Because one, with China, who knows where that stuff's been? And with Russia, did you see the pictures of how the plane was loaded? That huge, largest aircraft in the world? No loadmaster in their right mind would just willy-nilly stuff that plane the way it was. You have to consider the weight, the balance, the aircraft trim when it flies. They just had stuff shoved everywhere. It was like, no, this can't be right. This, you know, it looked more like a public relations setting than it was anything else. And, you know, Putin, is he looking to get some brownie points here? Because he hasn't really done that well with his response to the coronavirus. So is he trying to ease the sanctions over Crimea, Ukraine, so on and so forth? I appreciate the Kraft family shelling out the money for jet fuel to get the plane to China back again. But I'm like, do we really want to get it from the Chinese? But then again, with the situation about where do you go for all this supply, state against state, state against Fed, country against country. There's a lot of hoarding and price gouging going on because it's literally a free-for-all market. There's no one structure to handle this, so everybody's competing against everybody else. Maybe GP could add a little input on that, but to me, it's just like, how high can the price go? Who's willing to pay? And who gets what, you know, supplies?
Bruce, did we look at something the other day about the wartime something or other? We had an article up there about it. There's something that they invoked at the federal level where basically, it started with the GM thing where GM was told, hey, retool and start making ventilators because you're not making cars right now. And GM was dragging their feet. And then Trump went in and said, OK, we're just going to take it over kind of thing.
Yeah, I believe
Defense
it was
Production Act.
Defense Production
that,
Act.
That is
that's it.
Yep.
So can he not use this? And the reason I ask is this. Can he not use the power under this act to say, like, delegate the logistics of it and the supply line of it? I mean, I thought that's what the task force at the White House was doing anyway.
I don't know the intricacies of what they can and can't do with the act. I'll have to look at it. But more or less, it's my understanding is it has to do with, like, at least the production side of things and forces corporations to comply, more or less.
So I tell you what, let's hold that one. We'll look into that, because I don't know of everything that entails, because I don't know if it's changed, because it was used under FDR in World War II as well.
Yeah.
Due to everything that happened there. And I don't know if it's actually been changed. So I tell you what, let's hold on that, and let's look at that tomorrow. We'll talk about the Wartime Production Act tomorrow, because I'm actually curious about that myself. All right, yeah, let's jump over. Go ahead.
Something else to add to that. They've also used that to raid the home of a hoarder in Brooklyn.
I did see something about that. I did see something about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And they were using that act to give themselves authority to do that. And that, I think, is also very dangerous grounds. Mm-hmm.
We don't have any law against somebody, I guess. Hoarding, whatever. We don't have any law against that. So if someone has all their stuff seized like that, I mean, I don't agree with that at all. I'm sorry. And I don't agree with, I saw another video this morning of some guy that was being held down in a hospital, forcibly having his blood taken. Since when are we this? Since when does this go on? I'm sorry. We don't do that. We don't do that. And all these people are around, you know, the security people, the medical workers and everything. They're looking at this guy like he's some kind of nut job. And he wasn't. He was just sitting there. He's like, I'm not going to let you do this. You know, this is not what, you know, that's not right. And, you know, they strapped him down and took it. That's not right. I'm sorry. We don't do that. I don't care what the hell kind of order you got. You throw that order out the window, or you walk off that job. You know, you stick to your principles on that if you believe in that. Let's jump over into, since we're going to look at wartime tomorrow. I had somebody say that they wanted us to talk about this today. Let's talk about the, I think this is out of the New York, let's talk about the New York Times op-ed piece about evangelical Christians being responsible for the coronavirus. I have to get your take on it because, you know, you're a, well, you know, you're the theological guide in this case. So what do you got on this?
So basically the argument is Christians are propagating this spread more so because some groups are unwilling to close down their church doors and whatnot, and are instead enacting things like, you know, the social distancing and, you know, some of the other precautions. But because they're unwilling to stop these meetings, it's just causing spreading to happen more. That's more or less the argument. Mm-hmm. And no matter what your religious belief is, technically speaking, when you get to the Constitution, yeah, they're within their rights. I mean, the government is not allowed to regulate peaceful meetings or religious things. That's out of their scope. First Amendment gives them the right. But is it wise to continue doing the meetings and stuff? Yeah, probably not. You probably should look at moving to online services and whatnot if you want to continue, you know, doing meetings and so forth. I don't know. It just, some churches, I will say this, I know of one pastor that his congregants don't have internet. Some of them don't, like they can't afford it or whatever. You know, it's like in a project type of scenario. They can't afford the internet, so they can't go to online services. So they're doing the social distancing, and some of those they're providing meals for like kids for Sunday schools and whatnot. They have food banks and all this, and if they're not able to meet, those kids aren't even guaranteed to get a meal a day because, you know, it's, the families are poor. So especially with schools shut down as well. So it really, really, it depends.
You know, I agree with you that it's not within the government's realm to dictate whether or not you gather for a, you know, whatever it might be. You know, we have that right to do so as Americans. I mean, that's our inherent right as human beings that are endowed by the Creator, not by a government. So for them to come around and to stop that, you know, I think that's pretty shameful. But this leads to a couple of things. One, public health, right? You're absolutely right that they will use the excuse of public health for anything that suits them. And if you take it to a court, you're going to lose it. So you can skate around that all day long. But in this case, at the same time, you know, I agree with the other point you brought up too as well. We shouldn't have to be told to do these things. We should just inherently be responsible as a populace, as a well-informed, well-educated, critically thinking populace. We should be able to make the correct determination on what the best course of action is for the greater good of the community, if you will. So if it's a public health issue, then we don't need the government to tell us. We can just say, hey, okay, for all things considered, right, for all parties considered here, or all whatever, you know, all, I don't even know how I want to put it, but it's a side issue, but you get what I'm saying. For all, you know, all things considered, it's in the public interest that we shut everything down and not reopen until this is passed. Now, you can set up, you can still run food banks. You were talking about the church groups running food banks, right? They can still run those. There's not a problem. We still have supermarkets open, so you can have the same protocol followed at a food bank, right? You put the shield up there and, you know, you can have the food set off on one end and someone can come out and pick it up. It's that simple. So I don't see what the big deal is, but I have a bigger issue with the point you mentioned. I have a bigger issue with the government coming down and saying, well, basically not even saying, they're just doing what they're doing. I don't like it. I'm a big kid. You know, I don't need to be talked to like I'm five. This is just me. I don't need to be talked to like I'm some kid. I saw something that was completely shameful. I mean, I was ashamed. I was ashamed to see it. I didn't watch the network, but I saw the video played on another network where they were commenting on it. And it was Fox Business. You guys know the network Fox Business? Yeah, the financial network for Fox News.
Yes.
This was, you guys know Elmo from Sesame Street? Yeah, the little red thing. Yeah, okay. Yeah. This was, I think, Bruce, you already know where I'm going with this. They had Elmo on Fox Business. They had a commercial of Elmo singing a song to adults about how to wash their hands properly. This is what we've been reduced to as a populace.
I'm not surprised.
This kind of nonsense. I see that, and I either want to throw the television out the door or turn it off or change the channel or whatever. You know, I see that, and this is what we've been reduced to. I'm embarrassed. As an American, I'm embarrassed to even see something like that and to be talked to and demeaned that way. So it goes back to responsibility, personal responsibility. If we had personal responsibility, then we wouldn't be seeing the issue with certain churches. But it's at the same time, it's their right. So, you know, you're in a catch 22 with it. But if we had personal responsibility, you wouldn't be seeing it. You wouldn't be seeing op-ed pieces like this out of the New York Times. You wouldn't be seeing Elmo commercials about how to wash your hands on a financial network, which obviously kids don't watch a financial network. What in the world are they going to watch a financial network for? So to be talked to and to be treated that way, it's really embarrassing. And I don't like it.
Could I jump in for a moment, sir?
Go ahead. Tavis, you're on a limited timetable, so go ahead.
Yeah.
No problem. It's not just the Christians. Look at the Mormons. When they flew their missionaries home from around the world, hundreds of people showed up to welcome them back. Like hugging, crying. It's not just the Christians. And common sense is not common. I agree with you overall, but in this day and age right now, I see it every day at work. I've got people leaning over on me. I've got people climbing over me to get the stuff. It's like, hey, just say something. I'll step to the side. You can get your stuff and I can go back to work. So a lot of people are responsible. A lot of people are using common sense, but there's still those chuckleheads out there that just think, oh, well, that applies to them, not me. It's like, folks, we are all in this together. And if you can find a way to work around it, okay. You know, food banks, stuff like that. But we're still at the point we need to practice our social distancing. Wash those hands. And granted, it's shameful that Elmo has to be used this way, but I've seen people come in. They have no gloves. You know, they're rubbing their face, picking their nose. They pick up fruit, veggies, whatever. It's like, oh my God, people, what are you doing? And, you know, a lot of people are getting it, but there are still those out there that have just not grasped the concept or they don't care. I'm not sure what it is, but there's still people, such as GP was saying in California, families out walking around, this, that, the other thing. Out in my neck of the woods, it's almost a ghost town, like you were saying, Johnny. A few cars in the street, you see people in supermarket parking lots. But other than that, pretty much everything is shut down. A lot of the churches have gone online or they've gone to radio broadcasts. You know, for like the Catholic Church, they went online for masses. A couple other churches bought airtime on local radio stations to do their services so they can use the radio to get the message out there. So there are ways around it. Freedom of religion is also freedom from religion. Hey, it's great. You can, you know, you're religious, spiritual, no problem. But we also have to think about the common good, public health. So it's two-edged sword that can go either way. I don't think there's a clear-cut answer to go yes or no, but common sense has to come into it. If you change things, that's okay. You're trying. And I think that's the big point. People are trying to do the right thing. We just need to get everybody on the same page.
Well, to Tavish's point here on this, it's not clear cut. And here's why it's not. We've been ignoring the Constitution for so long. I mean, it's fairly irrelevant nowadays. I mean, let's be honest. I know I harp on the Constitution and stuff because, you know, I believe that's our foundational principles as a country. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the Constitution, and if you're, you know, trying to follow it, the government has no authority to dictate things when it comes to health. They can suggest things, but they're not constitutionally allowed to do that. But in this day and age that we're in, it doesn't matter. I mean, the founders had to deal with pandemics and whatnot in the beginning as well. I mean, we moved the capital for a time because of pandemics. So, I mean, you know, it's not unheard of, and there was things done. And honestly, Americans are willing to sacrifice their constitutional rights for a time. But basically, my point is, if our focus is to follow the Constitution, then the government would be giving us recommendations and it would be on the people to self-govern themselves. In the current times, it's more acceptable for the government to dictate those kind of things. And honestly, like I said, the American people are willing to, you know, put aside their constitutional rights for a short time if it is for the betterment of the people. But I'm concerned we won't even get them back if we set them aside. We've got people. We have what's his name? Schiff going in, and they're looking at doing another impeachment proceeding or investigation because Trump didn't do, or he didn't react fast enough to the coronavirus. So we're going to have to investigate it now. It's this, you know, kind of nonsense that goes on from those people that really concerns me that we're not going to get constitutional rights back. So it pushes me to want to be more constitutional and adhere to it even more, because if I give you an inch, you're going to take a mile.
You're absolutely spot on, man. I'm not going to disagree with you one bit. I did hear about the instance where Pelosi had formed a new committee and they're going to start an investigation immediately. And of course, it's going to be Schiff and one other guy, I don't know, who are going to head that up. And, you know, I'm going to get that clip. I'm going to get that clip of all those Democrats. I hate playing party politics here. I hate it. I can't stand it because I can't stand either party. But I tell you what, in this sense, I will play party politics. I will go and I will get that compilation of clips of all those Democrats that were talking at the initial stages of this and talking about how we don't need to close down any flights, we don't need to stop any travel, we don't need to shut down any infrastructure in the meantime, you know, nothing. It's just a small case of the cold, it's just the case of the sniffles, and we're hardy people and we can deal with it. You know, everything's safe, we're going out, you know, go out and eat some dinner on the town, that kind of thing. Yeah, I'm going to find that clip. I'm going to go find that clip. I'm going to find it tonight and I'm going to play it tomorrow. Of all that, I completely agree with you, man. It's shameful that these people, I mean, you're going to do this now. You're really going to do this now, as if you don't have enough egg on your faces already. You're going to do this now. And by the way, I mean, I tell you what, since you bring that up, let's go to where is it? Let's go to this provision here. OK, and I actually had this pulled up, but Nancy Pelosi wants vote by mail provisions in the next U.S. coronavirus bill. Now, see, we couldn't get by with a $2 trillion bill. That's not enough. No. See, according to her, that was just a down payment, I think were her exact words. So now we need something even more, you know, because which, by the way, do you remember we said 25 million of that went to the Kennedy Center? Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, the next day that 25 million arrived at the Kennedy Center, the next day they sent everybody home. So, yeah, they're not paying anybody. So where'd the 25 million go? You talk about theft. I mean, OK, U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said on Wednesday she wants to she wants to virus proof the November election by including funding to boost voting by mail in the next pandemic response plan being put together by the Democrats in the House of Representatives. Pelosi said at least $2 billion, and ideally $4 billion. See, $2 billion is not enough. Ideally, $4 billion was needed to enable voting by mail to give citizens a safe way to vote. A safe way to vote. Yeah, sure. All the provisions about election audit, you know, voting auditing, all those things. Yeah, apparently that's got to be in there too. But which she tried to pass in the first bill to give citizens a safe way to vote during the coronavirus pandemic, which has killed more than 4,300 people across the United States. See, we have to put that in there. We have to put that in there too. She noted Democrats had gotten just $400 million for that purpose on the $2.3 trillion coronavirus stimulus that went into law on Friday. Vote by mail. This is a quote from Pelosi. Vote by mail is so important to our democracy so that people have access to voting and not be deterred, especially at this time by the admonition to stay home. Okay. Voting by mail. I didn't realize that that was hindered in any way, shape, or form. We've always had a vote by mail system. So why do we need to dump billions and billions and billions of dollars into it now? What's the point?
Maybe we need to be sure that all envelopes are self-sealing so you don't lick them.
Okay. And you need to make sure that all of them are already checked, pre-checked with a D, right?
Yeah, that too.
Well, I mean,
pay for the logistics of getting those truck shipments in. And yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. Well, it says here, right? This is another quote. This is another quote from her. She says, when I was chair of the California Democrat Party many years ago, the Republicans always prevailed in absentee ballots. They know how to do this. Of course, we know how to do it. We know how to do it because we know how to vote.
Take a breath, John. Take a breath.
All right. You know what? And I'm not going to say that from a point of voting Republican. I voted both parties all my life, right? All my days, I've voted both parties. So don't sit here and think that I'm one or the other. I'm certainly not. I will give criticism where criticism's due, and I will call it as I see it. I've always been a split ticket voter. And for those that don't know what a split ticket voter is, that means you vote for both Republicans and Democrats. I've always voted for both. I've always seen the arguments of both sides. And I pick the person who I think is best qualified for the job. So regardless of whether they have an R or a D next to their name, I look at the issues that they run on and I make my decision accordingly. So I've never been a straight ticket voter on anything. So, yeah, I just wanted to throw that little thing in there, thinking that I didn't want people to get the idea that I'm some kind of, you know, country club, check pants, golf club, log cabin Republican or something.
Oh, no. I'm the same way. I'm a split ticket guy myself. I just didn't want your head to explode.
You know what? My head's been exploding for the last couple of days on all this stuff anyway. I think I'm going stir crazy, Tavish. I'm tired of this lockdown nonsense, right? I'm ready to get back into things. I've had enough, right? I've had enough. I'm done. I understand that it's got to happen. I get it, right? I'm willing to bite the bullet on it. But this is not going to last forever, as those people are suggesting. You know what? I will brave it. I don't care. But this is not going to last forever because you suppress people long enough. It's like holding a beach ball underwater, an inflated beach ball underwater. What happens to it when you let go of it?
It pops right up.
Exactly. I think people can make their own mind up and use that analogy however they choose.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm a firm believer in the Constitution. I took an oath, and that oath will expire the day I die. That's the way I look at it. The oath was to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. Mm-hmm. Not the president, not Congress, not the Supreme Court, but the Constitution. That's my view of it. So I can understand in times of great need or stress, hey, we may have to, you know, let's try to find a different way of doing it for the common good, the public safety, whatnot. But you can't just shove it in a corner, close the closet door, and then forget where it is. No, can't do that. Mm-hmm, you got to keep it out front and center on the mantelpiece where everybody can see it.
And more than that,
makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. And it's really hard to get that across to somebody who's not. I don't want to sound like stuck up here or anything, because that's not how I want this to sound. But it's really hard to get that across to somebody who's not an American, that we pledge our allegiance to an idea, not to a man or a woman.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter. I don't care. Right. It's not a matter of pledging your allegiance to that. You're pledging your allegiance to an idea of freedom and prosperity and real equality, true equality, not this party politics or he loves Trump or he loves Obama. I don't care, right? It's not about that. It's not about Trump at the end of the day. All these people that go around
talking about the
country. Exactly. All these people that go around talking about, well, Trump this, Trump that, you like Trump, you don't like Trump, you like Trump, you know, who cares, right? It's not about Donald Trump at the end of the day. This is what they can't understand, because we believe in the individual entrepreneur, right? We believe in the one person that can change things, whoever that is, right? I'm not talking about anybody specific here. But on the other end of that, you have a group of people who believe that the system is going to empower them and give them a way forward, right? We don't believe that. We believe it's you, whoever that is out there. We believe it's you that can change things, right? Because by you changing yourself and making yourself a better person, then the world is a better place because you've made yourself a better person, because that passes on to someone else inherently, or it should. Right. So that's what it's all about. But see, the people that are of that group mentality, that collectivist mentality, they'll use the system to crush everyone else or to try and crush everyone else because they can't relate to it and they can't compete with it. So this is the fundamental difference at the end of the day. So it's not a person that we pledge an allegiance to. It's an idea that we pledge an allegiance to. And it's, there's nothing more fulfilling than that. And you try to get that across to somebody who's, you know, divided along party lines or even not a U.S. national that doesn't understand it. They still look at it as, well, Trump hasn't done this, Trump hasn't done that. Well, Trump has no authority to do that, you know, or any other president for that matter. They don't have the authority to do a lot of these things because they're unfamiliar with the way that the system works. Everything should be done kind of oddly enough, you know, how he's doing it now. You don't have a unified message because he's re-delegated all the authority out to each state to handle things as they see fit, which is fair enough. So, you know, it's a federalist system. That's how it works, right? So you don't have a massive national government coming out and taking over everything whole hog. You want that? You're going to end up with Hurricane Katrina all over the country, right? You want that? I don't. I don't want that for my people. But yes, I didn't mean to go on that long tirade, you know, tangent there. But yeah, that was just my two cents on it. Since we got talking about the Constitution, man, I can ramble all day about that. But so let's see, you've only got a few minutes left. Speaking of states delegating things, Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida has announced that a statewide shutdown order will be in place in Florida throughout April. He's ordering all Floridians to stay home beginning at 12:01 a.m. on Friday, which would be last night at midnight. A decision that came after mounting pressure from health officials to lock down the state in the fight against the coronavirus. Florida has been the only state with more than 5,000 cases without such an order, with DeSantis insisting that localized orders for South Florida by individual cities, counties were sufficient. But by Wednesday, the state had nearly 7,000 cases and was seeing one of the biggest day-to-day increases in the country. So, according to his thing, this is his quote: limit movements and personal interaction outside the home to just essential services and activities. Same as what we're seeing all over the country. Where's GP? GP, you there? He's not there.
He's probably vacuuming out his sinuses.
Okay. All right. Let's start with this. Let's jump over to this. This is you guys know the Rasmussen polling company? Yeah, they go around and do polls. You, mm-hmm. you guys know Rasmussen? Yeah, they've been around for quite a while. Mm-hmm. Okay. Rasmussen has a new poll out. They say that 2/3 support closed borders for their states and fines for social distancing violators. 67% of voters want to bar entry into their state, except in cases of emergency. The survey reveals only 21% oppose the border control measure. Should your state bar all out-of-state travelers, except for emergencies, until the coronavirus threat has ended? This was the question that was posed. 67% said yes, 21% said no, 12% said not sure. Do you favor or oppose such fines being handed out in the community where you live? 68% of people favored it, 20% people opposed it, and 12% were not sure. The national survey of 1,000 U.S. this is where I don't like it. The national survey of 1,000 U.S. likely voters was conducted March 31st to April 1st by Rasmussen Reports. Support fines by age category 18 to 39 was 73%, 40 to 64 years old was 67%, 65 plus was 61%. But yeah, what do you guys think? Do you think we should close borders for all the states and hand out fines for social distancing in all 50? What are you guys' thoughts on that? Tavish, let's start with you because I know you only have a few minutes left.
I think it's more an illusion because if people are determined, there's no way you can completely close a border with another state. You can close the roads, you can close the rail lines, but there's still going to be ways people can get across the state line. I think it's more a psychological thing. So people go, like right now, Rhode Island is blocking or quarantining people that come from the tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, 14-day self-isolation. But to literally seal the border, I don't think that's a realistic idea. Because they're using the National Guard to help with the medical issues going on now, you can take these people off their duties and stick them on the border to close the state border. I can't see it happening. It's a psychological thing that makes people feel better. But in reality, I just can't see it happening.
Yeah, I don't think we have the manpower to do that across all 50 states. We talked about closing the borders to each state before. Logistically, it's a nightmare, right? I mean, you would literally have to call out every National Guard and reservist, and you'd have to call out all auxiliary law enforcement across each state.
I mean, exactly.
You're talking about billions of dollars to do this, and then you've got to enforce it on top of that. So it's not even feasible to do that.
Actually, Tavish makes really good points. There is this It's all psychological. It's really not going to do anything as far as we don't have the manpower and so forth. But I don't like the idea of enforcing like fines or even prison time or such as we're seeing in Louisville, forcing you wearing an ankle bracelet, if you know, those kind of things. No, this is not.
Yeah, we're going to talk about
that. That is not the American. It's not the American way, guys. I mean, come on. You know, if a state wants to shut down its borders, that's on them. You know, that's a state's choice, right? I don't know about the, I don't know how much authority they have on that one, because I'm pretty sure they're supposed to have open trade and whatnot with other states.
So I believe it's free interstate travel and right to commerce, state to state is what we have. I believe that's how, I'm paraphrasing it because there's a specific way, but we can look that up and present that at another time. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so I question the legality of it. But like I said earlier, I think Americans are willing to put aside some of their rights for a time, for you know, a month or two, for the betterment of the nation or its people. So that's a tough one legally.
Mm-hmm. Tavish, we're at 20. We're in an hour. Do you need to go? I was keeping an eye on the time for you.
Yeah, I hate to bounce out like that, guys. But okay. Bruce, Johnny, take care. Be safe, my friends. I hope
you too, buddy.
GP comes back with a empty nostril cavity.
yeah. We'll see. He's probably you know, cramming a Z-pack down his gullet right now to get himself opened up.
All right, gentlemen, I will catch you around. Have a good day, boys.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Yeah, stay safe, man.
Oh, I was trying to get Tavish before you leave. Oh, well.
Too late. He's gone.
I just got on. All right.
All right.
What a time to get on. Just when he says say goodbye. I've got to go again. I'm trying.
You okay?
No.
No, no,
no. Okay. No, I'm fine. My face is fine. That's fine. But yes.
Do you need to leave?
Oh, no. What?
I wanted to get your comment. Uh-huh. Actually, I wanted to just take a minute since you're here. I wanted to take a minute and uh-huh. I wanted to talk to you about the incident in Los Angeles a couple of days ago. And that was the engineer that ran the train off the tracks. Yeah. Trying to hit the hospital ship.
Yes.
Okay. So the only thing that we're hearing is that uh-huh. a guy ran the train off the track. Uh-huh. And he was trying to run it into the side of the ship. So what's being said out there? You had a different take on it.
Okay, this is what you guys don't get to hear. This is the stuff that none of you get to hear because it's really just kept in the Spanish and Black communities. They're told the Trump administration is out there killing you. He is out there going to take you and send you back to Mexico. They've got troops ready. This ship is a freaking incinerator ship. They're going to, if you go into the hospitals, you're going to be taken and sent back to Mexico.
They're not even taking COVID patients. They're not even taking COVID patients, the hospital ships. They're there to deal with.
I know. That's why there's no patients, because they're burning them. Now, the community here is just lied to so badly. I mean, it's you can see the fear in people's eyes when you just mention anything to do with Trump, or the hate or the rage.
Yeah.
The lies here are insane.
You don't have to tell me.
And because a lot of them don't speak English, or they don't listen to radio or talk news, they only get their news clips and then they get the hearsay, like one person told one person. By the time you get it, it's Trump has hit squads walking the streets, picking up people in vans and burning them. I mean, that's about how it gets to. The communities here are so jacked. The minority communities, it's crazy.
Well, it's not just that.
I get to hear the stories from my neighbors. Yeah.
I mean, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, because I talked to somebody today who watches CNN and they think that that is the gospel, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, I mean, you can't even have any kind of a conversation with that, because it's just this whip up of derangement. And lunacy. Yes. You can't even try and have a sit down conversation with them on anything. It doesn't matter. It's just, and if you if you try to say something, then they just scream at you about stuff.
They're told to not listen to you. Do not listen to you. That's what they're told. If they have something that you don't feel you like, don't listen to it. Yell, punch, scratch, whatever it is.
Okay. All right.
And we're going to have a problem here in California, because we have a large portion of undocumented workers, whatever you want to call it, that don't even speak a word of English. And they're completely reliant on a lot of this hate rhetoric. So to them, they might be hearing that this ship is a crematorium ship, and that's all they're hearing. And then if they go to the hospital when they're sick, that they're just going to kill them or deport them to Mexico. So don't go. That's what they're hearing. Yeah, so we're going to have 12 million plus people wandering around, sick as hell, keeping everybody sick. And everyone's jogging on the frickin' street anyway right now. Then you got, I don't go 5 minutes without seeing somebody running down the street or walking or a huge family.
And speaking of that,
see all the people in the shopping parking lots. Oh my God.
I believe it. Speaking of that, let's talk about, since you're here and we got you for a couple more minutes, let's talk about your mayor, Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti. Is it Garcetti or Garcetti?
Garcetti.
Okay. Mayor Eric Garcetti. He says that all Los Angeles residents should wear masks. On Wednesday, yes. He called the city's millions of residents to start covering their faces whenever they're out in public as part of an effort to combat the outbreak of coronavirus. He said on Twitter that the decision was guided by data showing that many of those infected are asymptomatic. This is why we are recommending you use cloth face coverings plus physical distancing for essential activities. But he advised against using the surgical and N95 masks, which are reserved for first responders and medical workers.
Uh-huh.
Do you see anybody wearing these masks out in public now?
I just did a little drive-by. This is my last one. And I would say about 20%.
20%. Even so, okay, this is the issue, right? This is the issue. Even so, there's been talk about this, of Trump coming out and mandating that the public wear N95s across the country. We don't have the kind of masks to be able to do that. Even logistically, that's not possible to get people that many masks to be able to deal with it. You don't have that many masks in circulation. I mean, and still keeping the medical workers with what you guys need. So it's not even feasible. So if they're mandating these things, but he's saying don't use surgical and N95 masks, what are you supposed to use? You know, you're supposed to put like a water jug on
your head?
Well,
they're doing cloth masks. No. They're doing these cloth masks. A lot of people are using materials, various materials, sewing multiple layers together. And it does help.
You know, that's the old technology, though. They did that during the flu pandemic in Philadelphia all those years ago. That's what they were doing. They were using cotton masks in the streets.
And you got to do that now. You can wash them.
Okay. But he says,
spreads,
to be clear,
it spreads the coughing. It reduces the coughing effect. So.
Yeah, it does. He does say here at the end, he does say to be clear, you should still stay at home. This is an excuse to suddenly go all out. Well, from what you're saying, people are going all out anyway. They're out in the streets jogging, going to the park, going to the store, you know, shopping, doing everything. People are looking at this like a vacation, man. They're looking at it like a vacation. Yes. I was out today for a little bit. I took a little drive out today, and man, it was creepy. I was telling Tavish when he was in here earlier, when you stepped away, it was creepy. I mean, I did have to go out to the supermarket. I had to go pick up some things. So, and they had toilet paper, by the way. They had four cases of toilet paper on the shelf, but I didn't need it, so I left it for others, for someone else who needed it. Speaking, keeping with Los Angeles, do you have a few more minutes, or are you done? Do you need to go?
Yes, I do.
You do? Okay.
My face is running.
your face is running.
My face is running.
Do we need to quarantine you, GP?
Yes. We do? If attic dust gives you COVID-19, which you know what, we have to really go over what all these myths that people have about COVID-19. We should actually do a show about all these common misperceptions, like putting bleach on your skin or there's a new one I just saw. Gargling bleach will help reduce the chance of you getting COVID-19.
I also heard this morning that turning a hairdryer on full blast at the hottest temperature up your nose will kill all coronaviruses in your nose and in your sinus cavity.
Interesting.
Yeah. I had not heard that one yet.
Did you know that pouring bleach directly on your skin will not, and this is true, will not kill the viruses inside you, but people are thinking it does?
Really?
That pouring bleach on their skin will kill the viruses inside them.
I didn't know that. And I also know that fish tank cleaner is not a novel preventative for this either.
Oh, it's not. Oh,
no, it's not.
Good. I was 5 minutes away from catastrophe.
Did you hear how it's spreading? It's spreading by 5G.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I did hear that. Yeah, they're burning the 5G towers in England tonight, in Birmingham, actually.
Is that real?
Well, that's real. They're actually burning. They're actually setting the towers on fire.
You know, the study that they're talking about was a 2011 study done on bacteria that communicate by this high frequency waves, which would be like 5G. Bacteria.
Not viruses.
My God, people.
The thing is, though.
A celebrity.
Yeah, the thing is, though, okay, we'll discuss 5G coming up this week or this weekend, whatever, when we get a chance to. But 5G, well, there's another
5G,
issue.
The new price of bread? What?
There's another issue with 5G. I could see the English burning the 5G towers because they're owned by one Chinese company. I could see that. I mean, there could be another motive behind that other than what that article was reading. So I would really like to talk about that at some point. But since you're here, and you do want to talk about the the myths and the facts surrounding COVID. We can do that if we can get you for more than 5 minutes at some point during the week.
In my honey-do list is honey insane list. No, it's not my honey-do list, but it's things I have to get done for preparation for my work.
Yeah,
and for being in a situation where we're not going to be able to get our supplies because that's what's likely going to happen. So,
okay.
I'm in rush.
No, you're perfectly fine. I understand. So, okay. We'll end on this one here. And then Bruce, you and I can talk about Louisville after this, or if you have GP, if you got to go, but let's start with this.
Los Angeles.
You got right now?
No. Go ahead. Los Angeles. Okay. Go ahead.
Los Angeles. This is an article out of Yahoo. I don't like Yahoo, but they brought it up. They're the only ones that are talking about it right now. I'm sorry. This is from the Los Angeles Times. Excuse me. it's the same difference, right? It's the same.
Right. Difference. They just copy and paste all the.
Yeah, that's all they do.
Just copy and paste.
They copy
one
and paste.
Article.
This is out of the LA Times. It says that the coronavirus is spreading in the Los Angeles homeless community. I don't know if that's a breaking news story or not, but it says there are 9 confirmed cases of coronavirus among Los Angeles homeless population. I would argue it's a lot higher than that. 9
Well,
cases.
How many did they test? 9?
Well, I don't know. They tested 9.
I mean, that's kind of how it works here.
Yeah, this is according to Barbara Ferrer. She is the director of the LA County Department of Public Health at her Thursday media briefing. This is up from 5 the day before and comes as the city and county attempt more aggressively to test in places like Skid Row. Ferrer said that it was challenging to know exactly where in the county these homeless people had been. Well, it's not that hard to figure out. You just follow them around for, 6 or 7 hours. You know, you might figure out where they go halfway across the county. But
mostly
so far,
in front of someone's door, they also go up the sidewalk. Oh, right. What?
under a freeway somewhere. I mean, you know. But so far, there had been no clustering of cases. Yeah, your front lawn. Yeah, your front lawn, really? They actually hang out on your front lawn?
No. I've been fortunate enough that I'm too high up. They can't walk this high.
Uh-huh. She said there had been cases at 2 shelters, but didn't reveal their names or locations. Gee, I wonder why. Probably because everyone in the shelter hasn't, I would venture to say.
Yes.
Quote from her, if we are able to, we quarantine at the shelter everybody who's been exposed and sometimes at a smaller shelter. That could mean we're quarantining the entire facility. But we also go and identify who are the people most vulnerable. They're all vulnerable. They're all vulnerable.
Yes.
What do you mean most vulnerable? They're all vulnerable. And who had an exposure. And we move those people to an isolated site for them to serve out their quarantine. What isolated site? Where would they put them? In your humble opinion, where would they put them? If they can't put them in the shelter, which I would argue that's, by the way, to her
it's,
point.
It's actually
said,
a little room outside that room. No, I have no idea.
Okay, that's going to work. But she says they would move them to an isolated site for them to serve out their quarantine. Do they have quarantine centers set up outside the cities?
Not that I know of. Not that I've seen.
Okay, so I've read a little bit into that article, and they're saying places that were closed down, like old convention centers or stores that were shut down or whatever, they've basically gone in and seized them and have set up basically a quarantine site. And more or less all they did is they're putting them in the same room essentially and having social distancing for people that are confirmed or have been exposed to someone that has been confirmed. And I believe the number that are in quarantine right now, potentially exposed, was like 22, I believe. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, actually, GP, you brought that up. You said it sometimes they'll take over one of these abandoned buildings or something, or, you know, close down Walmart or Sears or one of these places, and they'll set up quarantine centers in those places anyway. That's just standard procedure. I mean, that's not anything that's out of the realm of, you know, the ordinary or something. You can go now if you want, GP. I mean, I said you got a thing, you know. You got somewhere you got
to
be.
My life is getting so busy with so much not to do, right? All right, guys, I'll catch you here in a little bit.
All right, you be safe out there, and we'll see you later on this week. You mentioned Louisville. Let's talk about Louisville. What's going on in Louisville with the ankle bracelets to stay isolated? What's going on? This is like house arrest. It's like house arrest to me.
And that's actually what they quote in the article. The officials have said this is, it's good that we have these systems already in place, is more or less what they said, though we do not like enacting them. Basically, what they're doing is, if someone's confirmed to be infected and they're refusing to self-isolate or, you know, whatever, they're basically forcing them to have an ankle bracelet installed or whatever, however you want to word it. So
this is as bad as
if you're not
bands.
Right. And well, this is probably worse in the sense that it's tracking. I don't think the wristbands tracked. Did they? The ones that are currently in use?
The ones that are currently in use, no. The new ones that they're going to come out with the Bluetooth integration with the app, those will track you, right. Yes. And we do have some information out today. I don't think we're going to have time. We're not going to have time to get to it today. We're really pushing it here. We don't have time to get to it today, but there are, just on this point, I'll let you continue on. They are using Google and their location data, and they're releasing that data in 131 countries so government officials can see if people are obeying the self-isolation rules. So we will talk about that tomorrow, but continue on.
It's not really much more to add to it. They're basically putting people under house arrest. If you refuse,
what's their crime? What's their crime? What are they being convicted of? Being infected, that's a crime now. So if I contract a coronavirus, which, by the way, a coronavirus, that's a common house cold, just so you know. This is not what they're calling a coronavirus. That is not a coronavirus. This is something else. But a coronavirus, I mean, there's several different ones, but a coronavirus, essentially, it's common house cold. That's really what it is.
Yeah.
And by the way, and to this point, we can end on this. We talked about a vaccine several times. And I'm going to make this claim now. I don't think we're going to see a vaccine for this. I really don't. All these people are being told, you know, we're all being told by these health people, these big pharma companies, experts, we're working on a vaccine. It's not going to work. And I'll tell you why it's not going to work. If this thing, at the heart of this thing, is a coronavirus, which it is, at the very basis of it, we don't have a vaccine for the common house cold. We don't have a vaccine for a flu that actually works. So what makes you I mean, we got 40 million dead over the last, 30 years? Or excuse me, 40 years of HIV. We don't have a vaccine for that. So what makes you think they're going to come up with something viable for this? It's just my opinion, but I personally don't think we're going to see one. And if you do get a vaccine for this, it's not going to work, and it's not going to be for this. I'm just going to lay that claim now. So anyone's welcome to their own opinion on that. That's entirely up to you. But to sit here and to think that some vaccine is going to come along and save you, no, not with this. Not when the heart of this thing is a coronavirus, and we don't have a vaccine for a coronavirus, which is a house cold. We haven't cured the common house cold yet. And you're going to come up with something that's going to stop this? Uh-uh. That's my take. Do you have anything else you want to talk about today?
Nothing that can't wait for next time.
Okay. Yeah. I just saw that Google one just a little while ago, and I put it up there on the desk there. And I tell you what, I really want to dig into that, because that really just, that burns me to my core, because they've been using that data all along, and now they're just being public with it. Now they're just saying, well, we got your location data. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you turn that stuff off or not. It doesn't matter. Anyway. All right. We'll discuss that tomorrow. As always, thank you to all the listeners for taking the time to sit down and listen to us today. Please, if you like what you're hearing, follow, like, subscribe, all those things that you do as a listener. We really do appreciate it. Please tell people about us. And any feedback that you all have as a listener, doesn't matter if it's good or if it's bad or if it's critical of what we do, or if you have any suggestions, show tips, those types of things, things you want us to look into, please do drop us a line at your convenience, if you so choose, at tips@dynamicindependence.com. Thank you for your time today, Bruce, and I will see you tomorrow.